are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
5 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, November the 9th, and the NBA draft is next week. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Have an interesting contest we're having here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. So go back and check out Fridays with Brian. That episode, we explained it in detail there. And be sure to listen to this Friday and next Friday as well for the clues that'll have you win the big prize for the Locked On Pistons podcast contest. So check that out. Today we're going to talk about the continuing momentum for next season starting. It's right around the corner. If you can believe it or not, we may have Pistons basketball in 2020 still. So we're going to talk about that. Also, Brian's back with a draft profile. Brother Brian coming through as he always does, this time talking Killian Hayes, the number three prospect on the Locked On Pistons draft big board. The listeners came through, and we are going to profile 3, 2, and 1 this week as we look towards the end of that, and also all sorts of draft news and notes out there. Have the Pistons made a promise to a little bit of a surprise at the number 7 pick? We'll talk about that later on today as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash. Matt Shook, give the Play Michigan account a follow on Twitter as well, Play_Michigan there. The opening of online gambling is coming fast and furious, so you're going to want to check that out. But late Thursday night, news broke that the National Basketball Players Association had a call and voted for the approval for the proposal to start the 2020-21 season, and that is supposedly coming up on December 22nd, a 72-game season coming up with training camps opening on December 1st, next month, right around the corner, less than a month from now. The regular season ending on May 16th and the finals finishing no later than July 22nd. These are games going to be in market, so hosted at Little Caesars Arena or maybe the practice facility to start off. They're going to make a real compelling just choices to reduce the travel as much as possible, so you know, less times going out west a couple times, maybe things like that, or playing two games if a team's in town in Detroit. Maybe you'd play them back-to-back and just get those games out of the way. Things like that will be on the table there. Apparently, this is something that the players are all in for. There was a lot of talk about Martin Luther King Day possibly starting the season then, and maybe if shorter than 72 games, but there's a lot of money to be had. The Christmas Day games are big for the network television, as you can imagine, and the 2021 Olympics, which were supposed to be in 2020, pushed back from Tokyo to next summer. There's some players that obviously want to play in that, and even more importantly, getting the normal schedule set for the 2021-2022 season. And now that they saw they don't really want to go head-to-head with the middle of the summer or football, beginning of that, that the ratings were bad for the bubble there, the election, everything that was going on. So they decided to abandon ship on maybe pushing the season around all that much in a drastic way. So get things set up when the revenue is going to be coming up, hopefully in full stream, two seasons from now, which is sad to think about. But it sounds like that free agency might be starting a day or two after the draft. Hasn't been finalized yet, but really soon, fast and furious, as you can imagine, only about 10 days before training camp starts. Also, the escrow provisions, they're talking about that normally in about in a regular season, you get 10% of the players' salaries get put into escrow, and then at the end of the season, based on how much revenue actually comes in for the league, the money gets dispersed either to the owners or the players, depending on what the end result is there. That's going to have to go up, so they're thinking maybe closer to 20% there, according to Shams Charania of The Athletic, maybe something like 17 or 18%. I think they'll be just fine. And, yeah, just the health and safety protocols obviously are on the table. The salary cap sticking put at about $109 million, leaving about $30 million for the Pistons this offseason. And another note from the very bottom of the story, the Pistons and Clippers were the lone teams without team reps in the meeting. No reason to real cause alarm there, but it begged the question for me, who is the player rep for the Pistons? And when you see who the player rep and the alternate rep is, that might be your answer to the question why the Pistons weren't on the call. The rep for the players is Langston Galloway, who is an unrestricted free agent, and the alternate is Thon Maker, who is a restricted free agent if the Pistons extend the qualifying offer. But the belief here is that it's a really good chance that neither of those guys are on the Pistons next season. So maybe this offseason there might be a little bit of a strange situation where the Pistons don't really have a player rep, and I'm sure there is some kind of provision in case something serious needs to be discussed or voted on. This was a unanimous vote by the players, so wasn't something that was super controversial. And just interesting there that that Galloway and or Maker were involved in that. I don't know the logistics of whether guys, when guys are free agents, whether they actually should represent their teams or what the protocol is there, but we're not going to sound the alarm on it. But just interesting that the Pistons were one of two teams that their player rep was not involved in that meeting. Interesting stuff there. Another more news from the weekend. Chauncey Billups, as we figured, as has been reported, will be joining the Los Angeles Clippers coaching staff under Tyronn Lue. That was reported by Woj on Sunday. It was reported that he was going to be the main assistant for Tyronn Lue after he took the job, but there was some belief that maybe Chauncey was up for the Indiana job or some of the other head coaching jobs that might still be out there. But Chauncey Billups on the bench as an assistant coach with the Los Angeles Clippers, who are going to be under the big microscope this coming season. But up next, Brother Brian coming through with the Killian Hayes draft profile, one that I know you guys are anxiously awaiting to hear his thoughts on the French point guard. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
A few weeks ago, host Matt Shook asked you listeners to submit your opinions on the top seven draft prospects for the Pistons. And after a healthy response from you, he compiled those submissions and unveiled the list of 18 players that you voted for in the order in which you guys selected. We have decided to take that list and work our way up and give a more in-depth summary of those prospects. So today we look at a player ranked number three on that list, Killian Hayes, a 19-year-old, 6'5", 175-pound point guard. Born in Lakeland, Florida, where his father, Darren Hayes, played in the American Basketball Association, he moved early in his life to France when his father started playing professionally in the top French basketball league. Hayes started playing basketball in the youth ranks for Cholet Basket, the professional team his dad played for. He wanted to come to America to play college basketball, but on the advice of his family, he decided to stay in France, where he also turned down an invitation to attend a prestigious sports academy in Paris in 2016 to start playing for Cholet Espoir in the LNB Espoir, a French under-21 league. Hayes shared MVP honors in the Jordan Brand Classic International game, and then in 2017, his star really began to rise as he averaged over 16 points and 7 assists for the Espoir Cholet and being named MVP in the regular season, and then repeated that honor in the postseason while leading the team to the trophy of the future. In 2017, at the age of 16, Hayes played his first game for the Cholet senior team. He represented France in the 2017 FIBA Under-16 European Championships, where he was named the tournament MVP en route to a gold medal, averaging over 16 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. In 2018, Hayes was the second youngest participant at the Basketball Without Borders camp during NBA All-Star Weekend in Los Angeles, and then returned to that camp in 2019 while it was held in Charlotte, North Carolina during that year's NBA All-Star festivities. Also in 2018, Hayes again suited up for France in the FIBA Under-17 World Cup and averaged over 16 points for the silver medal winning squad and was named to the tournament's All-Star 5. In 2019, Hayes went to Germany to start to play for the Basketball Bundesliga, Germany's top league, for Ratiopharm Ulm and averaged over 11 points and 5 assists and becoming the second youngest player to ever record a double-double Russell in EuroLeague action. The youngest was Ricky Rubio. When the season was postponed in March for COVID, Hayes came back to the U.S. with his family and didn't return when the season restarted, instead opting to declare for the draft and work on his game domestically. Hayes told ESPN's Mike Schmitz how his game has evolved over the last few years.
I've been going into my body, being stronger, like the way I read the game, the way I see they, where I see how I read defenses, like all them little things.
A man of few words, this potential second piece of a French connection in the former French settlement that is Detroit seems almost cornily poetic. But with his blazing pace and plus size at a deep point guard position in this draft, it's impossible to ignore. And with that top speed comes a flashiness that is fun to watch. With this overseas prospect, you would be adding instant offense to the lineup as his playmaking ability and the potential that comes with a smooth shooting stroke and quick release just screams the ability to add points to the scoreboard. He is certainly left-handed dominant, and I would like to see him play on the other side of the court more often to keep defenders off balance, as he sometimes finds himself in tough positions because of opponents' knowledge of where he is probably going to go and then tries to force some plays that result in poor possessions or even turnovers. But he does have great court vision and can make just about every pass. And he can pass teammates open with a great touch. In what is a theme in most drafts, and certainly in this one, he needs to add strength so that he doesn't have to rely on his plus footwork as much to stay in front of opposing players on the defensive end, and he tends to have a tough time playing through contact and fighting through screens. And he sometimes gets lost on the defensive end of the ball, but maturity and coaching has a very good chance to break that habit. The perimeter game is a strength as he shoots near 40% from international three and has the potential to get even better with some coaching. And being over 90% from the charity stripe is a good marker to show that he is going to be able to improve that part of his game. Mocks range greatly for Hayes, as I've seen him as high as the top five, but many have him slipping to around the area of the number 7 pick that the Pistons possess. He has been a favorite of Piston fans on Twitter and Reddit for months, and if he is available, he might be just what Troy Weaver and Detroit want. His friendship and past playing with current Piston Sekou Doumbouya would lend itself to the idea that the two could help each other develop and adjust to their newfound status as potential future stars in the league. I have made no secret of my thought that the Pistons should dip their feet into the deep pool that is the 2020 class of point guards, and this guy is just about as good as any of the other names that might be available. Some interesting NBA comps I have seen are D'Angelo Russell and Spencer Dinwiddie. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to you joining us on the next installment when we will look at point guard LaMelo Ball.
Killian Hayes was a name that was brought up very early by Pistons fans and someone that they have loved, and we like him too here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'll be interested to hear where Brian cites him. We'll talk about his big board 1.0. We finally got the 1.0 for him on Fridays with Brian as he's gotten through most of these names, although I guess it's possible that the RJ Hampton, Tyrese Maxeys of the world could creep into his top seven, but doubtful. We'll see where he's at on that top seven there. The French connection, well talked about with Sekou and potentially Killian Hayes as well for the Detroit Pistons. I don't know, is that how that would go now? Detroit, as Brian notes, a former French settlement here in Southeast Michigan. But yeah, Killian Hayes, there's a lot to like, not a lot to dislike. In a world where the Pistons walk away from next Wednesday's draft on November 18th with Killian Hayes out of France, coming to Lakeland, Florida, of course, home of the Tigers in the spring. Nice little touch there that he was originally from the Central Florida with Detroit ties right there already. Another nice thing there, but you love the dynamic play that he has at point guard. You love the passing. You love the way that he's able to see the whole court, make some difficult passes all the way to the corner from across. The court vision's great. But Brian talked about it, the strength. And, of course, all rookies need to add some strength to some extent. But I know he's 6'3", but he's a guy who's just he seems small. You watch the tape, and this is the German league. This isn't the NBA. And he just kind of stands out, and he's a young guy. So you grow into it to some extent, but the size is something that does kind of concern me. But same for Tyrese Haliburton, same for LaMelo Ball. Same for a lot of these guys that are going to be breaking in the NBA 19, 20 years old. So certainly not a huge red flag. And then guys like Okongwu has some size issues. He's short for a center in the NBA as well. So not unique to Killian Hayes that we're talking about. Some of those kind of things on my most recent big board, 4.0, I had Killian Hayes number 6, although if I had to give it right now one more time, I'd probably bump him up to number 5. I'd go Okongwu, Edwards, Wiseman, Halliburton, Killian Hayes, number 5, over LaMelo Ball, maybe Denny Avdia, number 6. Ball could be 7, although I'm thinking about tossing him off my top 7. Maybe when Brian comes with his big board on Friday, I'll come with a dueling one as well. But that's Killian Hayes, and that's Brian, and we'll see where he ranks him later on this week as well. But have the Pistons already made their promise for number 7? Is there a Florida State player out there that has a promise ring from Troy Weaver? We'll talk about those rumors and what that could mean. That's coming up next during the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Now, Dan Wojcicki of the Los Angeles Times put out his NBA mock draft 2.0 late last week. Everyone's doing it, but interesting notes in here that I wanted to pass along to you guys. Dan Wojcicki, I've met him at the Pistons practice facility, I believe, a couple years ago, back when it was in Auburn Hills still. So Dan's a guy who gets around the NBA. You've seen him. He's on Colin Cowherd sometimes and is also on Dan Patrick's show as well. Here's his quick rundown of his top 6 before we get to the Pistons. Anthony Edwards to Minnesota at 1. 2, Golden State, James Wiseman. 3, LaMelo Ball to Charlotte. 4, Obi Toppin to Chicago. 5, Cleveland taking Denny Avdia. And number 6, Tyrese Halliburton to the Atlanta Hawks. So pretty vanilla there, right? All the players that we're talking about, there would be no shock, no world where anyone's shocked if those are the top 6 picks. Certainly there could be some strange ones as well, but this is as normal as it gets. So the Pistons come at number 7. Players like Onyeka Okongwu, Isaac Okoro, Killian Hayes out there, Devin Vassell, you know, all sorts of guys that we've talked about here on this list. Instead, Dan Wojcicki has the Detroit Pistons selecting Patrick Williams of Florida State. Now, Chad Ford of the Big Board, NBA Big Board podcast, check it out. It's back on the Locked On Podcast Network, has talked about Patrick Williams possibly being higher on teams' boards than maybe the media has talked about. Patrick Williams is maybe more of a 9, 10, 11 type of prospect on your average media big board. So seeing him go number 7 is a bit of a stretch in some eyes. But here's what Dan Wojcicki had to say. Quote, some scouts and executives believe Williams has a promise to the Pistons if he's still on the board here. Detroit must like Williams' combination of measurables, potential, and youth, an ideal complementary player to any rotation. He wasn't that productive last season, but Williams' athleticism and two-way potential is eye-catching. End quote there for Dan Wojcicki on Patrick Williams. The promise, right? We hear rumors about promises around draft time every year. I would love to go back and hear how many of them were true and how many of them were not. You normally hear about them after the fact when the analysis comes out. So not great if the Pistons have made a promise to Patrick Williams and it has gotten out in the media for whatever reason. Obviously, agents might want to get the information about their player getting promises to maybe boost their stock a little bit with other teams around the NBA. We don't know if Troy Weaver is the type of guy who's going to throw promises out there or break promises, or if this is fabricated from the Williams camp or from other executives around the league who want to throw wrenches in to this whole thing. I think this draft is a little bit of a silly season, right? I mean, we in the media, we've been talking about the same 10 names, but of course that order of that 10 could be different. Maybe there could be Patrick Williams types that climbs into that top 7 or so, but I think that this could be a little bit more of a crazy draft than we are used to. Maybe some guys will fall out of the top 10 that we might expect to be high lottery picks. But Patrick Williams is certainly a name that jumps out. We talked about him with Brother Brian earlier. Both of us like him. He's a really young guy, one of the youngest guys in the draft, a high recruit coming into Florida State, and a guy who came off the bench for a lot of the season. But he's a freshman at Florida State. They were one of the top teams in the country, the ACC champs, and they were going into the NCAA tournament, the postseason, with high expectations and high hopes for their season. So the fact that he didn't play a lot isn't necessarily a deal breaker to me. Certainly, you'd want your number seven pick in the draft to be someone who flourished in their one season of college basketball, but this is a very good program that he was on. I'm not going to freak out about it. Yes, it does smell like Marvin Williams, who was picked very high by Charlotte instead of Chris Paul and Darren Williams and those guys. So, yeah, it's got a little UNC Marvin Williams stench to it, which is not a good thing. But no, I'm not going to jump off the Patrick Williams bandwagon. Again, it's number seven. It's not a great draft. There's guys that I like more than maybe the consensus. There's guys that I don't like as much as maybe the consensus is. Patrick Williams is one of those guys where I would just kind of throw my hands up in the air and say, hey, we hired Troy Weaver. We trusted Troy Weaver. I'm not going to do cartwheels if the Pistons stay put at number seven and draft Patrick Williams. Certainly if they trade down to 10 or trade down to 14 and pick Patrick Williams, you'd feel a lot better about it. But no, I wouldn't kill Troy Weaver for taking Patrick Williams at number seven. That's his guy. Of course, it's a little bit of a reach compared to maybe some of the experts out there and some of the things that we've talked about. And that kind of move puts the decision maker under a bigger microscope, more of a boom or bust situation for the decision makers if they go off the board a little bit. But no, this is a guy making his first pick as the general manager of the Detroit Pistons. We're going to give him some leeway. We're going to see how he builds the team. And Patrick Williams would be someone that me personally, and hopefully you guys feel the same way, we would embrace Patrick Williams coming here if that promise is ultimately true, or if the Pistons promise or no, select him on November 18th to be the next rookie on the Detroit Pistons. Reminder that I have officially predicted the Pistons will walk away with at least two players in the first round a week from Wednesday, which is when the NBA draft is coming. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Hollinger and Duncan. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.